courage is a foundational character trait of all other character traits. How big is your God? Your God always has to be bigger than your problem and your fears.
It's midnight in America, and we are going to be talking about some amazing prophetic things that are happening right now as the clock is getting closer and closer to midnight. And with me today, I have a powerful pastor, a friend of mine, Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller. Welcome to Charisma Connections, and I am looking forward to having this conversation with you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you to Charisma for publishing the book. You've been nothing but excellent all along the journey, and I'm excited to get this message out. I think you are too, and it's relevant. It's hot right now in terms of the topics, and we go right from the Word of God, so people can just be assured that you're gonna be able to examine it yourself. Take your Bible in one hand, take the Midnight in America book in the other, and go for it.
You know, some of the things that I have bookmarked already is this prophetic clock. And on this prophetic clock, around the 9 o'clock mark, you talk about the red heifers. And I want to transition right now to talk about this red heifer sacrifice. There's a lot of things that are happening around this red heifer, and a lot of people are questioning, and really there's a lot of fear about anything end time related. But let's talk about the red heifer, and a little bit later we're going to talk about fear and how to deal with that.
It's so obscure in most people's minds that it doesn't even seem relevant, and yet it's so relevant for end times. So if you can imagine the original temple that Solomon built, and then you have the Herod temple, so it's up on a hill, and there was what's called the heifer bridge that ran over to around the Mount of Olives. And right below the Mount of Olives was an altar, and they would sacrifice a red heifer there, and then they would burn it, and they would transport in the ashes in order for the cleansing of the temple. Now, why a red heifer? Well, because of Numbers chapter 19, verse 2, the instruction was to find a heifer that was without blemish, meaning no gray hair, black hair, white hair, and it didn't have any other blemishes, and it could never have carried a yoke. All right, so it had to be 3 years or younger. But after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, basically the red heifer disappeared. It was an anomaly of nature, and there was no reason for it because there was no temple. And so when you begin to study, okay, so if they don't have a temple, they don't need the red heifer. But now they found the red heifer. A Texas rancher actually said, "Shazam, I believe I have some down here." They examined them last year, and then they transported them into Israel, into the airport. They had a special ceremony. In order to bypass all the customs, they classified him as a pet. That way it wasn't livestock get held up. And then they put him in isolation. And in isolation, they were further watched by the rabbis to ensure that they were without blemish. And indeed, they found out they were. And just this month, on the 27th of last month, they had a conference in Shiloh with Orthodox Jews, and they too were able to see and experience what was going on. So the thing that makes it so intriguing is that you cannot have the cleansing of the temple without the ashes of the red heifer. So they would burn them down until they were white, and then they would mix them with pure water, which was called living water. And you remember Jesus made a reference to the living water. He said, water's not going to do it. You got to have living water and the cleansing that comes from the blood. And of course, the red heifer symbolizing the blood of Christ, I believe, for us today. Now, let me take you back one more thing, and then we can jump in. There's just so much here. This is one of the hottest topics right now. But I want to read something to you because it's so fascinating. It says here, Maimonides, the Jewish rabbi, wrote, he lived about, I think he died in 1204 AD. Here's what he wrote. From the time of Moses until the destruction of the second temple in 70 AD, only 9 red heifers have been used to prepare the purifying waters. The 10th red heifer was, when found, will be sacrificed when the king is ready to appear. So he wrote 1,000 years ago, when the 10th heifer comes and is sacrificed, the Messiah will come. We know the Messiah is Jesus Christ himself. And so we see that not only is this part of Scripture, it's a part of Jewish writings, and it's so significant that we're living in a day when this happens. Now, one more link, and then we're going to jump into this. there's been number of, and you can Google this very easily, Legacy News has got it all over it, where they've actually got the testimony, the words from Hamas fighters saying the part of the reason for the attack was, they call them the red cows, because they know what that means. That means that they're going to rebuild the temple. That means something, that the Dome of the Rock has to be removed. The Jewish mosque has to be removed off the Temple Mount. And so this is war for them. This is the real deal.
Yeah, so this is a big deal. And as you made mention to it, the attack on October 7th, one of the reasons was because of these red cows, these red heifers. Mm-hmm. And yes, the Dome of the Rock, you know, that needs to be removed in order for the temple to be built there. And so that's basically, in a lot of ways, that's fighting words right there. You know, just the everything mm-hmm. that's just demonstrated, it's going to lead to war. And we know that in Revelation, there's big wars that are talked about. But there's also this peace as well that's going to come, and with the Antichrist as well. So let's just kind of bring these things together.
Well, let's talk about Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. So not every war is a biblical prophetic war. There are going to be a lot of them. Because why? Because man is inhumane and man is sinful. And those things just happen. Some of them, however, are tied to prophecy. So if we look at the Dome of the Rock has to be moved, and I believe it does, for the temple to be rebuilt, then how do we get rid of it? Well, we go to a prophetic event that I talk about, and that's in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And this is the invasion by some nations against Israel. And it says they got ancient names like Gog and Magog and Rosh and Tubal. And that's actually ancient. That's would be modern day Russia. Mm-hmm. And then it's got another one called Persia. That's modern day Iran. Gomer is Germany. Tagarma is Turkey. And then it talks about Ethiopia. But this is Ethiopia, the north, the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. And all of those armies are Muslim. They're largely, Germany is a Muslim army because of immigration, because of Eastern Bloc countries. Russia is largely, their army is that as well. So imagine, it says that God intervenes. He brings about victory, and four-fifths of all the soldiers, the foreign invaders, die. Now imagine that. And it says, and here's a little thing we don't want to miss. It says, every wall in Jerusalem will fall. When God says every, I believe him, okay? Wow. Every wall, that means the wall that holds up the Dome of the Rock, the Wailing Wall, all those walls that surround it will fall down, and I believe it will slide down into the Kidron Valley. And now the entrance of the man of peace, the Antichrist. He will come and make a covenant with Israel, and he will say, look, you're going to rebuild your temple, okay, because you're not going to have the Islamic opposition. You're going to rebuild it. I'm going to make a covenant with you of peace. And that covenant of peace will be broken, we know, according to Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 2:4, when he declares himself to be God and takes his seat in the temple of God. And this is how we know. John wrote the Revelation in 90 AD. So he wrote after the destruction of the temple. There was no temple. But he's envisioning a rebuilt temple and Antichrist taking over. And then the parallel verse would be Revelation 13, where he declares himself to be God, demands worship, and then institutes the mark of the beast, thus ushering in the great tribulation, the last 3.5 year period of tribulation on the earth.
Wow. There's a lot to digest there, and it all kind of starts with these red heifers. You know, when do you think that this sacrifice might happen?
You know, I don't have any thought on it, but it seems to be imminent. It seems to be, I can't imagine them not using it as a time where it's going to be significant on Jewish calendar. But remember, the most significant thing is not when they burn it, is the fact if they burn it and when they burn it. Okay, so they're going to have it. They're going to have the ashes. Now, what a lot of people don't know, and I just want to go back, all the temple instruments are already built.
Yeah.
Okay. All the temple furnishings are done. The building blueprints are completely done. And there's 500 priests that are genetically been identified from the tribe of Levi who have been trained to carry out the order of the temple. And the high priest has already been appointed by the Sanhedrin to be the high priest of the temple. So what remains? Well, building the temple is one thing, and the Ark of the Covenant, and there Asher's the red heifer. Well, we got one of those out of the way. Red heifer's here. Mm-hmm. You know? So now you've only got those two things that are coming, and I think they could come very quickly. The war in Gaza is really a powder keg. It's something that could explode beyond what we're currently seeing. We'll watch it. We'll see what's going to happen. But I would keep my eye on Russia, Iran, Germany, and Turkey mainly.
Amen. So how are you as a pastor dealing with people that are afraid of this? Because obviously fear is a big part of the end times. And a lot of people look at the end times and say, what do? I can't stop this. How do you help people that are stricken with fear? It's a little bit different than people that are just afraid, but stricken with fear, like they can't move.
Well, let me go back. When I was a student at Oxford, my professor was at one time a part of the biological warfare department for Great Britain. And he would tell me some stories and some things that they had developed. And I looked at him one day, and he was also an Anglican priest. And I said, Kerr, I don't understand. How on earth do you sleep at night knowing what you know? He said, it's simple, my boy. I believe in a sovereign God. And I think we make our problems bigger than our God. Do we think somehow that the eclipse, or do we think that the movement of a despotic ruler in the world or a nuclear attack is bigger than God? Are we going to trust in God? Are we going to trust in the circumstances that surround us? I always just push people back. How big is your God? Your God always has to be bigger than your problem and your fears. And remind everyone that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So fear is not just an emotion. It's also a spirit, a demonic spirit that brings about unrest in our soul so that we do not trust in the Lord himself. In terms of just answering people, I get all the time, you think the Lord's coming back? Should I have children? I hear that from young couples. I said, yeah, have a lot of them. Why not? Trust in God. Raise up an army for Jesus. Live your life. You can't live your life wondering about what's going to happen. Is the sky going to fall in? What's going to take place? And I think if you can do that, if you can live with strength in your moment, you know, Winston Churchill said, courage is the foundational character trait of all other character traits, because from it, every other character trait comes out of. If I have courage, then I don't worry about my future. If I have courage, I don't worry about my job. If I have courage, I don't worry about what I say and don't say and who I'm going to offend or anything else. I just live with courage. And courage is foundational for everything we do. And it's really the other side of the coin of faith. They work hand in hand together.
Yeah. Pastor Phil, would you pray for our people that have been watching this, that they would have that courage, that faith over fear?
Yeah. Amen. Father, I just pray for everyone listening to this program. I pray, God, that you will guard them with your with power and authority from on high, that you would break off every spirit of fear, that you would give strength from the inner man, that you would absolutely give them a voice in the midst of struggle and difficulty and challenges, and that you would give them hope beyond understanding and give them a peace beyond understanding. Yes, in Lord. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Phil Hudson-Pillar, thank you so much for joining us today here on Charisma Connections. And I just want to let everybody know, you can get your copy of the book at mycharismashop.com. And that's available for you now. You can get it anywhere books are sold, Amazon as well. And Pastor, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to our next time that we get to talk together.
Thank you so much, John. God bless.